We're holding on Pehe Omid Beis, the last line. The Mishnah had said, in Mavi and Lonely Beis HaZvalim, the Mishnah had said that you can't bring oil that grew in a Beis HaZvalim, where we said Beis HaZvalim can mean a field that had to be fertilized with fertilizer, either because then not all of it may be fertilized and some of it will be poorer quality, or because the fertilizer itself will give it an off smell, or we said Beis HaZvalim that Amnon understands means in a garbage heap. Anyway, the Mishnah had gone on to say that another thing that you can't use another thing that you're not supposed to use for the oil of the menorah and for other purposes is what the Mishnah had called antakton. The Gemara over here is going to call it antiknoin with a nun vav. So it seems that the actual word is antiknoin. We find it mentioned in other places in Shas. Also under that name, it seems the nun and vav were sometimes written too close together and therefore became a test. Anyway, the Mishnah had said that if you bring anpakton or anpiknon, whatever, then b'diavad it's kosher, although Rashi's girsa is over here, as we'll see in a minute, that Rashi's girsa is that the Mishnah is saying that actually it's possible b'diavad. Okay, so the Gemara asks about Tanya, but we learn a braisa, in revin anpakton, vim hevi possel. You can't bring anpakton, but if you brought it, then it is possel. And then in parenthesis, Valtanya being heavy kosher, and you have a braisa that if you brought it, it's kosher. So there are different gusois and different explanations over here. Is the problem that the Mishnah had said that b'diavad it's kosher, and the braisa is saying it's possible, or is it that the Mishnah had also said that it's good? The Mishnah had also said that it's possible, but then you have a braisa that says that it's kosher, or another explanation is the braisa continues, Nesha Husaraf, because it's not really oil, it's just a sap that comes out of the olives. So in other words, according to that way of looking at it, so Tosfos has that gusa. So Tosfos brings, Rashi Ksaviyad has that gusa, and Tosfos explains it, that what it means is, the Mishnah is saying it's possible, fine, but the Mishnah is at least implying that it's oil. It's oil, but it's possible because it's low quality, as opposed to the Braisa is saying, that it's not even oil, it's just a sap. So there are different ways of explaining what the question is. Is it a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa as far as whether it's kosher or possible, or is it a contradiction between Braisas themselves, or is it a contradiction between whether we call it oil or not? Anyway, the answer is Amar Rav Yosef Leitasha Horeb Chia Horeb Shimon B'Revi. The answer is that the Braisa versus the Mishnah represent the opinions of Rav Chia versus Rav Shimon B'Revi. Rav Chia, in particular, composed and collected together the Braisa, so therefore we would expect that a Braisa would follow his opinion. Namely, when we have this ampakton, which the Gemara is going to explain soon, is oil from olives that have not yet reached one third of their growth stage. So now, as the Gemara is going to say soon, that oil is very good as a skin ointment, but it's not really good for eating. So the Gemara says, if he got a hold of such oil, he would throw it away. Now, not literally throw it away. Tosfos says he wouldn't literally throw it away, but at least he, as the Gemara is going to say soon, it's good for skin cream, for skin ointment, but he wouldn't eat it because he didn't consider it oil. So then the Braisa, that's saying that the Mipnesho Sarah, that's saying because it's sat, would follow that opinion. Reb Shimon B'Revi Metabol Bey. Or lay. Reb Shimon B'Revi, meanwhile, on the other hand, would actually dip his food in it, like people dip their food in oil in those days, meaning that he considered it to be oil. Well then, when the Mishnah considers it oil, and maybe even according to the Girsa, that the Mishnah says it would be kosher b'diavad, because that follows the way of looking at it, that it is oil. Now, how are you going to remember which one is which? With Simonach, a simon, to know which one of them considered it oil or not, think of the phrase, ashirin mekamtin. Which people are stingy, not stingy with giving tzedakah to other people, we hope, but at least for themselves. Rich people, they know the value of a dollar, so they like to save money where possible. So that it helps us remember Reb Shimon B'Revi, he was the son of Revi, who was extremely rich, he wouldn't so casually throw away oil like that. Instead, he would use, even though according to Reb Chia, it wouldn't even be considered oil, but Reb Shimon B'Revi would consider it oil to the extent of dipping his food in it. So that explains the contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa. So the Gemara explains in a similar vein, talking about the Shemen and Piknon or Anpakton, let's talk more about it. The Pasuk says in Megillas Esther, describes the beauty treatment they gave to all the girls who were brought to Ahasuerus' palace, Shisha Chadoshim B'Shemen Amur. For 6 months, they were treated with oil of myrrh. So my Shemen HaMur, what is the Shemen HaMur? Rav Huna Bar Chiya Omar Stakta. So Rav Huna Bar Chiya says it's what's called in their time Stakta, which is balsam oil. Says it means oil from olives that have not yet reached one third of their growth, which we're going to explain in a second, is the same as the Ampakton or Ampiknon of our Mishnah. Tanya Nami Hochi, we learn similarly in a Braisa. Okay, Nami Hochi is in parenthesis, because Tanya in other places in Shas where it brings, it's just Tanya, the Gemara brings another Braisa in this connection. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ampaknon Shemen Zayis Shalahe Vishlish. Rabbi Yehuda says that when we talk about Shemen Amor in the Gilas Esther, it is what our Mishnah is calling Anpaknon or Anpikonon or whatever is the actual pronunciation of it. It comes from a Greek word. So Anpikonon, Shemen Zayis Shalahevi Shlish, namely that is oil from olives that have not yet grown one third of their growth. So in other words, Rabbi Yehuda is explaining what is it. So in other words, we have three opinions. We have Rav Huna Bar Chiya saying that Shemen Amur is sakta, is balsam oil. Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba saying it's oil from olives that have not grown a third. And Rav Yehuda would be defining that is what we call in our time Anpikonon. You should know that it's oil that has not yet grown one third. Regular Rashi over here explains that no, what it is Rabbi Yehuda slightly differently. Rabbi Yehuda is coming to explain in our Mishnah when it says Anpikonon, what is that? That is Shemen Zayis Shalahevi Shlish. So in other words, according to that way of looking at it, Rabbi Yehuda is not really coming to explain the Pasuk in Esther, but rather to explain our Mishnah. And he continues, Lama Sochino, he says, so why are they using it as beauty treatment? Why do they smear it? Why do women smear it on their skin? Shemashir is a sayer because it causes hair, unwanted hair, to fall out, or ma'adana sabasar, and it makes the skin softer and brighter. Okay, in any case, so again, our Mishnah is saying you shouldn't use that as oil in the Bris Mikdash, and whether if you use it, b'dieved, is it kosher or pasul? That you have the different girsos, where the Mishnah, as we have it in front of us, says that b'dieved, it's kosher, but Rashi's girsa is that it would be pasul. Okay. The Mishnah continued, ein mevim in a gagur in shenishu b'mayim. You can't bring oil from olives that were soaked in water, or olives that were pickled, and we mentioned a few different other ones. So the Gemara says, "Tana Rabban." We learn in a Braisa some more detail about that. Shemen Zayis Kavush, oil from olives that were pickled, shaluk, or that were cooked, shorui, or soaked in water. In Halacha, we often have the concept Kavush to Mevushal, that if something is pickled, it then is considered as though it was cooked. And in Halacha, you even have that if it's pickled in a sharp liquid, such as vinegar, then it takes only a short time, only like 18 minutes, for it to be considered cooked, which has various ramifications. In Halacha, we'll eventually learn about them in Masechta Cholin, Ves Hashem, later in that Masechta. But the post can explain that if it's soaked in water 24 hours, it's also considered mevushal. So the pashtus shorei over here would be where it was soaked in water for 24 hours. And the braisa continues, v'shal shmorim, or oil that was extracted from the dregs. So you pressed out the oil. You have left the dregs. You have left the solids of the olives, and it's still possible to extract more oil from them. So all those things, the shoreach ra, or olive oil that smells bad, lo yovi, then you can't bring them from menachos, or from menorah for that matter. The menorah, we're going to say soon, actually, you need even more. You need shemen zayis zach, but anyway, so you can't even use them from menachos. The imhevi, and if you did bring them posel, then it will be posel. Unlike some of the ones in our Mishnah earlier, where we said that the Dieved, they'll be kosher, these are going to be outright possible. So the Gemara says, Boi Rabba. So Rabba has a question similar to the questions that we had previously that Rava had. Hikdishoi, if a person is makdish, one of these oils that are possible because they're in effect like a balmum, maush yuka olam, shom balmum, would he get malchus as if he had been makdish, a balmum animal for the mizbeach, which as we learned yesterday, a person is chayiv malchus for that. Kiven de posel ka balmum dummy, would we say, since this oil is possible, it's exactly like a balmum, and just like there's an isser in the Torah to be makdish a balmum, so there is also to be makdish these kinds of oils. Oy duma, ein balmum, elam bebehemo, maybe the concept of balmum, as far as malchus, applies only to an animal. And the Gemara says, we leave it unresolved, so therefore a person should not be makdish such oil, but if he does, he can't get malchus for it. So now that we talked about which places in Eretz Yisrael they bring oil from and what types of oil, now let's talk about the actual processing of the oil. The Mishnah says shloshes vesimim. There are three types of olives, namely. So Rashi explains that they would harvest the olives at three different times during the year because different ones on the tree would ripen at different times, as we're going to talk about the ones on the top, the middle, and the bottom of the tree. Tosfos objects that we find in Masechta Peah, for example, it says that olives are one of those crops that where everything ripens all at once, which is relevant as far as the dinim of Peah, because, for example, we have a din as far as Peah that for example, figs are potter from Peah because they don't all ripen, not all the figs on a tree ripen all at once. So how can Rashi be saying over here, Rashi Ksaviyad, that is, be saying that you harvest them at different times as they, or regular Rashi also says, that they harvest it at different times when they all become ripe, when they're supposed to all become ripe at once. On the other hand, Tosfos says that the fact is the Aruch does explain like Rashi as well. So fine, Mefoshim say that maybe what it can mean is, for example, in the case of figs, individual ones on different parts of the tree ripen at different times. But in the case of the olives, a whole bunch of them ripen at once, just in different parts of the tree. Anyway, Tosfos themselves explain that it means that you do harvest them all at once, but some of them are riper than others when you harvest them. And therefore the Mishnah is going to go on to say what you do with them. The Tzon Kodshim gives that answer about the difference is that figs, you have many different times when you pick them because each different ones become ripe at different times, as opposed to over here, you do have a large number of the olives on the tree become ripe all at once. It's just not all the ones on the entire tree. The Rambam has a whole different explanation. The Rambam explains, similar to Tosfos, that they are in fact harvested all at once, and just that they ripen at different times, and therefore you have to give different treatments to them. Okay. Anyway, so you have three types. Hazayis Harishon Megagura Gresh Hazayis. The first ones that you pick, or the first ones that ripen, you collect them. You collect the individual olives from the top of the tree. So those are the ones, they're most exposed to the sun. So therefore those are the ones that ripen the best. Regular Rashi brings two explanations over here. Megalgaroi, we're going to have in the Gemara whether the word is Megalgaroi or Megalgaloi, but anyway, one explanation, Megalgaroi means you wait for them to ripen fully so that they become galgrim, so that they become proper, fully ripened olives on the top of the tree. Or the second explanation, again, is that it means you collect the ones only from the top of the tree because those are the ones that have been beaten down on the sun the most, and therefore they become the ripest. So you collect them, the koisish, and you crush them in a mortar or in a press. As we know, the oil for the menorah has to be kosis lamar, so the first thing you do is you press it, venoisen, l'sechasal, and then you put them into a basket. And the idea is that the oil will filter through the basket, and that way the dregs and everything, or the solids, will stay within the basket, will stick to the sides and the bottom of the basket, and you'll end up with clean oil flowing out of it. There are mafoshim will explain that. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Sdimas Hasal. Rabbi Yehuda says you don't put them on the bottom of the basket, put it around the basket, meaning on the walls of the basket. Because in other words, Rabbi Yehuda wants that the oil should be as clean as possible. And the problem is, if you put them at the bottom, then Rashi Ksaviyad explains some of the dregs will come out with them as well. So therefore he says put them on the sides, and that way. All the psoilus and all the everything will stick to the sides. So therefore you'll get the cleanest possible oil. The Ravid, in fact, has a different explanation that Rabbi Yehuda would say you put them around the basket and it filters into the basket. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying basically you need a slower process, but you're going to get even cleaner oil that way. So once you're done with that, Zer Rishon, this oil that you got is the top quality, is the top quality, as we'll learn, but it's the first amount of oil that you got from these particular group of olives. Then what you do is you take the olives. Now the olive mash has had the first oil extracted from it, but there's still a lot more oil in there. So then you go in and load them under the beam. The normal way of pressing olives in those days was you would have a heavy beam that you would have. You put the olives. And you'd put the olives in a pile over there, and you'd bring down a heavy beam onto them, which would crush them and cause the oil to flow out. So now, when you're done getting the first oil, which is kossis, which had to be that you first crush the olives, not with the beam, but rather with a mortar or something like that. So now you put them under the beam in order to get more oil out of them. Rabbi Huda says even then you don't use the beam, because then the beam is so heavy, it's going to squeeze out also little bits of the olive, and you're going to end up with not such clean oil. Now, it's true, at this point, we're not talking about oil from the menorah anymore, because as we're going to say further on, only the oil from the first pressing is good for the menorah. Nevertheless, even for menachas, Rabbi Huda wants the oil to be as clean as possible. So therefore, he says, ba'avonim, instead you put stones on them, which are not quite as heavy, and that way you'll get oil out without crushing the actual substance of the olive and getting bits of olive mixed in as well. Zesheni, so now you have the second grade of oil. Chozavatochan, then you go and grind up the olives, v'tochan, and then you put them again under the beam, or maybe under the stones, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Zeshlishi, and now you have the third grade of oil. So the Mishnah says, Harishon the menorah, the first grade of oil that you got is good for the menorah, because the oil for the menorah specifically has to be shemen zayis zoch kosis lamar, has to be clean oil, so free of any dregs, and it has to be kosis, that it was produced by crushing the olives with a mortar, not pounding them really, kosis is more like pounding them in a mortar rather than crushing them under a beam or stones or whatever. So the first one will be kosher, so only the first grade will be kosher for the menorah. Bashal, the menachas, the other ones are kosher also for menachas. As the Gemara is going to explain, you don't need such high quality oil for the menachas. Okay. So that's the first group of olives, the ones that ripened on the top of the tree, and those are the most ripe, and you get the best quality oil out of them. Next, Hasheni. Then you have the second group of olives, the second harvest, according to Rashi, or the second group of olives from the previous harvest that now took more time to become ripe, according to Tosis. Anyway, Megagore Berosh Hagag. Those you collect at the rooftop. Now, what does that mean? So a couple of explanations. Regular Rashi explains that Rashi Tzaviyad also explains that it means since they don't ripen fully on the tree, you would spread them out on the roof to dry. Regular Rashi brings another explanation that the olive trees, people would often grow olive trees near their roofs. Well, Rashi Tzaviyad also mentions this, that the people would often have olive trees near their roofs. The second group are the ones that are approximately the height of the roof. So Megagor to Beresh Agag, then can mean you collect the ones that are at the height of the roof, or it can mean you collect the ones that are from the middle of the tree and you spread them out on the roof to dry. Anyway, so now that way they can ripen further. The Rambam phrases it a little differently, that at this point you collect the ones, the good ones and the not so good ones, and you dry it, you put them on the roof, and then you pick out the good ones from among them. Okay. So then you go through the same processes. The kosish, the nosim, the sechasal, you pound them in a mortar and put them into a basket so that the oil will flow out. Rabbi Yehuda and the Sviva Sasal, Rabbi Yehuda says again that you put them not in the basket but around the sides of the basket so that dregs don't flow out through the bottom of it, or according to the Ravid, you put it outside the basket and let it flow in. Either way, Zerishan, there you have the first grade of oil from these olives. Toyin Bakura. Then you go and press them under the beam in the usual way. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ba'avonim. Again, Rabbi Yehuda says you don't use the beam for this, you use stones. And Zesheni, and that's the second grade of oil that comes from these olives. Chos of a toch on the ton. Then you go and take the remaining olive, then you take the remaining olive mash. And you grind it up to the ton, and then you load them again under the beam. Zeshlishi, and that's the third grade of oil. Same thing, Harishon the menorah. The first grade is kosher for the menorah, Vashar the menachas, and the other ones are kosher for menachas. So in other words, as we're going to go on to learn, you have within each type of olives, you have the three different processes that are used to produce oil from them. Within each one of them, the first one is the only one that's kosher for the menorah, because again, the oil from the menorah has to be kosher lamor. So therefore, it can only be this one that was pounded in a mortar and not the ones that were crushed using the beam or the stones or whatever, because those have more dregs mixed into them and the oil is not as clear. So now, before we were saying, you have the top quality olives, the one that came from the top of the tree and ripened there first, that's the best quality, but this one, which is now the fourth grade, you get numbers 1, 2, and 3, now you have numbers 4, 5, and 6, well, 4 is also acceptable for the menorah. Next, continues the Mishnah, Shlishi. Now you have the third group of olives. Those are the ones that were near the bottom of the tree, and the sun didn't shine on them as much, so therefore they didn't ripen properly on the tree. So you can't leave them on the tree, and they're not going to ripen over there. So the first thing is you pile them into a maton, which is a big vat in the olive press. And you leave them over there, actually yuka, until they change. Yuka literally means they get damaged. Not really damaged, but in other words, like, so the color changes and they become soft. So then you know that they're soft enough that you're gonna be able to get oil out of them. So now you put them over there, and then the next thing is you have to take them up to the top, up to the roof, and spread them out on the roof so they can dry out. The reason is because when you put them in the matzah, you're putting a huge number of them piled together in the vat, it does cause them to soften, because of the heat that's generated over there, but it also causes that moihel of sap-like liquid oozes out of them. And that's not oil. That sap is not oil. You want to get rid of that before you start pressing them for oil. So therefore, the next thing you have to do after you take them out of the matan, spread them out on the roof so that that moiho will dry off. Then at that point, you can crush, you can pound them, the noisim, the sechasal, and put them into the basket. Or again, Rabbi Yehuda and the Sediv Sasal, and Rabbi Yehuda says, like before, around the basket, around the edges, or around the basket altogether. Zerishen, and now the oil that you get from that is the first quality from these olives. So in terms of the total number of qualities of oil, we're saying altogether there are, we said, the Mishnah had started, Shlosha Zesimhem, overhem Shlosha Shlosha Shmanim, there are three types of olives, and within each of them there are three types of oil, so altogether you have nine types. So now we're up to number 7. This one is the Rishon. Then he loads them up and puts them under the beam. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ba'avonim, and again Rabbi Yehuda says not the beam, but rather with stones. Zesheni, and that's the second grade of oil that you get from these olives. Chazavatoch on the ton. Then you go grind up the olives and you put the beam on them. Zeshlichi, and now that gives you the third grade of oil from these olives. So here you have grades 7, 8, and 9. Again, Harishon LaMenorah, the seventh one, which is the first one from these olives, is good for the menorah. Vashal Menachos, and all the other ones are good for Menachos because those don't require Shemen Zaisach. So the next mishnah at the bottom of the Omer is going to talk about within those how we determine what the best quality is. But first let's deal with the detail of the wording in our Mishnah. The Gemara says, Yiboylehu. The Chacham had a question. What's the wording in the Mishnah when we said Megargaroi Beresh Hazayis? So is the word Megargaroi Tznan, which would be from the word Gargir, which means individual olives. So does it mean that, in other words, you're collecting only the so is the word Megargaroi or Megargaloi Tznan? Now, what's the difference? So one possibility is it may mean that there's just a difference in the wording. Sometimes the Gemara will do that. Whether the Mishnah was written already in the times of the Gemara is controversial. The Rambam holds that Rebbe wrote the Mishnah. Rashi consistently says that Rebbe only composed the Mishnah but didn't write it. So if you say Rebbe hadn't written the Mishnah yet, then of course they didn't have written Mishnayos yet to refer to, so they would have to know what the correct Girsa is. But even if it was written already, not necessarily did they have Rebbe's original manuscript anymore, the Pashto said copies of copies by that point, and not all of them were accurate. They may even have gone back to different traditions of the text in the first place, or for that matter, they may not have had, even if they had, a written text, not everybody had it available to them, and most people were still learning Baal Peh. Anyway, what's the difference between Megargaroi and Megargaloi? So regular Rashi explains, Megargaroi would mean that you're leaving the olives over there until all the gaugrim, all the individual olives, are completely ripe. Or megalgaloitznan would be that you leave them there until they become fully ripe. Megalgaloit comes from a word that means fully ripe. You have a word in you have an expression in the Gemara, beitza megolgelas, which means a soft boiled egg. So we see that megalgaloit would come from a word meaning boiled, or in this case, ripe. So in other words, according to Rashi, ksavyad, there's not really so much of a difference in the meaning. It's just a difference of the wording. Rashi Ksaviyad says the actual difference, there would be an actual difference. Megalgaloi would be that you collect one olive at a time. You have to look, even on the top of the tree, you have to check which ones are ripe and which ones are not, and pick only the ripe ones. Or megalgaloi would be leave them all on the top of the tree until they're all ripe over there. So the Oroch actually explains that according to the Gusa, megalgaloi would actually mean that you'd mark on the tree, you put some kind of marker on the ones that are ripening faster, so you pick only those, so you see the ones that are on their way ripening faster, and you mark those so that when you actually come to collect them, then you'll collect only those. Anyway, what is it? Megalgaloi or megalgaloi? So the Gemara says Toshma, we can bring a proof from the following braisa, the Tanya. The pasuk says Shemen Zayis. The pasuk says you have to bring olive oil. Now, why does it have to say Shemen Zayis? Why does it have to mention oil? Why does it have to mention olives? The standard kind of olive, the standard kind of oil that they had back then was olive oil. So we learn that from that, Mizesari. It means it has to be from the olive. So Rashi Ksavyad explains that the word Mizesari means, so regular Rashi explains it means they should be on the tree. With oil and ready to come out. The Meshech Chochma gives another explanation. And he says that Mizesoi in the Gemara over here means that you want the oil to be as new as possible. When it comes to wine, we're going to learn on Omer Beis, you shouldn't have it. You don't press the grapes and then right away bring the grape juice for the Sochim. You have to wait until it ferments and becomes wine. But with oil, the Gemara is telling us over here with the word Mizesoi, it's the other way around. You want as soon as possible, after the oil is pressed, that you're going to use it for, that you're going to use it for the Menorah and for the Menorahs. So Mizesoi would mean that it still has the taste of the olive in it. So Mikano Amru, based on this, the Braisa says, based on this, the Chum said, exactly what it says in our Mishnah, Zayis tradition. So now the Braisa is going to restate more or less what it said in the Mishnah, but it's going to use the word Megalgaloi. So that would answer our question. So that we see that the word is Megalgaloi. So Zayis tradition. So the first group of olives, Megalgaloi Beresha Zayis, you leave it to ripen. You leave it to ripen on top of the tree. The coins of the base up, and that way you have Mizesoi, that way you have the olive is as full of oil as it's going to get. And that way also, as the Meshech Chochma says, that means also when you press it, you'll be able to use the oil as soon as possible afterwards. The coins of the base abad, then you bring it into the olive press. The Teuchne Berechaim. And you grind it up with millstones. Now the Mishnah had said you don't grind them at that point. The Mishnah had said you grind them only at the end to get the third quality oil. So we're going to see in the Gemara what's going on with that. So we'll get to that soon. But anyway, continues the Braisa. If you noise number salad and you put it in baskets, so the oil will filter through the baskets. Shemen hayotzi mimenu zeh hayorishon, and the oil that you get from that is the first grade of oil. Tan bakora, then you put them under the beam of the olive press. Shemen hayotzi mimenu zeh hayosheni, and the oil that you get out of pressing it with the beam is the second quality oil. The chazer of porak, then you take the olives out from under the beam, the tohan, and you grind them up, the tohan, and then you put them under the beam again, and that way you can extract more oil, the zehoyeshlishi, and that gives you the third grade of oil. So the Braisa says, as we said in the Mishnah, harishon the menorah, the first grade is kosher for the menorah, vashal the menachos, the other ones are kosher only for the menachos. Next, the Braisa continues, v'chein zayis sheni. Now you do the same kind of thing with the second group of olives. V'zayis shlishi, So v'chein zayis sheni, you do exactly the same with the second olives. The Braisa doesn't mention the point that it said in the Mishnah, but the second ones you put on top of the roof. But again, in the Mishnah itself, we said when it says b'rosh hagag, doesn't necessarily mean that you actually have to lay them out on the roof. We said that is some we said this, that is one explanation, but another explanation, it just means the ones that are at the roof height when they grow on the tree. Anyway, so the Braisa seems to be taking that way of looking at it, because just saying this, you do exactly the same thing with the second group, in other words, implying you don't need to do anything else with them before you start pressing them. Now, the Braisa continues, Vizayis Shlishi, as far as the third grade of olives, again, the ones that were on the bottom of the tree, or the ones that hadn't yet ripened, Oitnoi Beves Abad, so as we said, you have to put them into the vat, or a matzon is not necessarily a vat, it can be a vat, it can be a big pit in the ground, whatever. It's a place where you store a large quantity of olives to cause them the heat of them the heat and the pressure of them being together causes them to soften, and that way you'll be able to get oil out of them. So you put them in the matan, the vesabad, in the olive press ad shiyuka until they change, until they soften, and then whatever. Umalo the resha gag, then you bring them up to the top of the roof. But oisa kamin tmara, and you put them in a pile there, like in the shape of a date. Namely, Rashi Ksaviyad explains, it means that you're talking about you put them in a pile wider on the bottom and narrower on the top. Adshi Azubu Meimov, until all the water, all the moil, all that sap that came out of them before drains away. Then the coin silver base of that. Now at that point, you bring it to the olive press, the tochne berichayim, and you grind it up with the millstone, the nos number salon, and put it in baskets to filter it. The shemen ayotzi men zeho yorishin. The oil that you get from it is the first grade of oil that you get from these olives. Tan bakorda. Then he loads them under the olive beam and presses them with the beam. Shemen ayotzi men zeho yosheni. And the oil that you get from it is the second grade of oil. Then he takes them out from under the beam. Chazav tan and grinds them up the tan and puts them under the beam again. Zeho yoshlishi, and that gives you the third grade of oil. Again, harishin l'menorah. The first of these grades of oil is good for the menorah. Bashal menachas, and the other ones are good for the menachas. The Braisa continues. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with a number of the details. First of all, lohar tochne berechayim. First of all, he didn't grind them to begin with millstones, because then for sure you're going to get all kinds of dregs and bits of olive mixed into the oil. Rather, like it said in the Mishnah, he pounds it in a mortar. So that way, the pounding of it doesn't cause so much dregs to come out. We'll learn on Amad Bey's more about the details of their different opinions, why Rabbi Yehuda insists that it can't be ground up with millstones, and why the Chum consider that acceptable. So rather Rabbi Yehuda says he pounded it with a mortar, and also he says when it comes to making the second grade, v'loy hayotoyin bakora, you wouldn't load them in and then press the beam on them for the same reason, you're getting too much dregs out of them, elabavonim, rather you squeeze them using stones, because the beam is very, very heavy, the stones are not quite as heavy, and you don't want to get so much dregs into the oil. And another detail, Rabbi Yehuda says, another detail that he disagrees, as he says in the Mishnah, "V'loihari nosim v'stalin." Don't put it into the baskets, meaning even in the bottom of the basket, elo v'sifs v'vasasal, but rather put it around the edges of the basket so it filters out better. Or as we said before, the Ravid explains that Rabbi Yehuda is saying, don't even put it in the basket, put it outside the basket and let it filter into the basket. Okay. And in any case, the Braisa had used the word megalgaloi v'roish hazayis, so then that would answer our question that the correct wording in our Mishnah is megalgaloi. Fine. Now, if you want to ask, so how gufa kasha? The fact is, though, you seem to have a contradiction in the Braisa itself, because the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, now that we have the Braisa, when we see from the Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees in three areas, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, unlike the Tanakama of the Braisa, who says that you grind up the olives to get the first oil, Rabbi Yehuda says you pound them in a mortar. Instead of putting them in baskets, or anywhere in the basket, or Yehuda says Davka put it around the basket, with the various explanations of what that means. And when it comes to the second grade of oil, instead of crushing it with the bean, Rabbi Yehuda says you should crush it only with stones. So now the Gemara says, if you look at our Mishnah, Gufakasha, then you seem to have a contradiction in the Mishnah itself. Kursish Mani, when our Mishnah had said that for the first grade of oil from each type of olives, you pound them, Rabbi Yehuda, that would be according to Rabbi Yehuda, because the Braisa had said that you could grind them up with millstones. On the other hand, the Mishnah continues, Terichasal, but when the Mishnah says you put them into the basket, meaning anywhere in the basket, Asal on the Rabbanon, that seems to go according to the Rabbanon. So who is our Mishnah like? It's neither according to the Yehuda nor according to the Rabbanon. And the Gemara says, fine, Hai Tana, Sovala Kavasei Bechada, or Polagale Bechada. The Tana of our Mishnah agrees with Rabbi Yehuda in one detail and disagrees with him in the other. He agrees that you have to pound the olives in the mortar to get the first grade of oil, but he disagrees as far as the part about having to put them around the basket rather than inside it. And when it comes to the beam versus the stones, there the Mishnah explicitly says that you have the Tanakama versus Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. So the Mishnah says, so now that we described, you have altogether 9 different types of oil, so now let's talk about which ones are the most preferable. So the Mishnah says, Harishin Shibarishin, the first one of the first one, meaning the first grade of olives, the ones that we said ripened on top of the tree, the first oil that you get from them, Ein L'mailam Heimenu, there's nothing higher than it. It's the best of all of them. Asheni Shibarishin, Harishin Shibasheni, the second grade from the first group of olives, and the first grade from the second group of olives, Shavin, are equal. If you were to put them in a 3x3 table, you would find basically that you're saying anything that's on the same diagonal is the same grade, or anything where you could take, let's say, the grade of the olives from 1 to 3, and the grade of the oil from 1 to 3, and add them together, and you'll say, in other words, so number one is the only one where it adds up to one. It's the top right corner. It would be the top right corner of the table, let's say, and there's nothing higher than it. Meanwhile, you have then the next diagonal would be the ones you have 2 of 1 and 1 of 2, both of which add up to 3, and both of those are the same thing. They're not the same thing as far as the menorah, as we're going to talk about the menorah. Only the first oil of each type is kosher. So for the menorah, only the first 4th and 7th grades are good. But here we're talking about as far as menachos, they're both equal. And the point of all this, of knowing which ones are equal to what, is basically, even when it comes to menachos, even though all 9 grades are kosher for the menachos, nevertheless, as we've been learning throughout the parak, you're supposed to bring the best to Hashem, so therefore you need to know what is best and what is best and what's the next best and so forth. So now, for example, if you have a choice, let's say, for menachos between the second grade of oil from the first group of olives, or the first grade from the second group of olives, then the Mishnah is telling us you should know those are the same as far as menachos. Bring either one; they're both equally accepted. Next. Ashlishi Shibarishin, the third grade of oil from the first group of olives, Vasheni Shibasheni, or the second type of oil from the second grade of olives, Varishin Shibashlishi, or the first grade from the third type of olives, Shavin, again, all of those are the same. Again, if you were to put them at a table like that, you would have a diagonal running from the top left to the bottom right, which would include all of the, if you do it in Hebrew style, I guess, if you do it in English style, it would be the other way around, whatever. You'd have the third of the first, the second of the second, and the first of the third, all of those are the same. Ashlishi Shibasheni Vasheni Shibashlishi Shavin. The next grade down is the third grade of oil from the second type of olives, or the second grade of oil from the third type of olives. Shavin, those are again equal. Ashlishi Shibashlishi and the Mata Imenu, and the ninth one, the third grade of oil from the third type of olives, there's nothing lower than that, so it's the least preferable. It's still kosher from an office, but if you have a choice, bring something better. The Mishnah continues. Now, you would have thought that the menachos also, it should have been logical to say that they should require shemen zayis zoch, only clean, pure olive oil, meaning only the first grade from each type of olive. Because you would make a kabachoyma. Ma menorah she'en ala achila, madach menorah, where the oil is not for eating. And yet it requires shemen zayis zoch, so it means it has to be an oil only from the first grade, which has as little as possible of the dregs. Menachos shein la'achila. So then the menachos, which are meant to be eaten, they're meant to be burnt on a mizbeach. You also have Some Mephoroshim explain it may also mean the eating, the fact that the Kohenim eat it. Anyway, so you would think, in addition, Tarnos Shemen Zaisach, you would think all the more so that it should require Shemen Zaisach. No, Tamad Loima. Therefore, the Pasuk says, Zach Osis Lamar, the Pasuk says that the oil has to be clean, has to be pressed or crushed or whatever for the light. Now, why does that say Lamar? The Pasuk is talking over there about the menorah. So it means, so what it means is, so only Lamar, Ve'en Zach Osis Lamanachas, so you don't require it to be pure and then crushed oil for the Menachas. So even though logically you would have had to use such oil for Menachas as well, nevertheless you do not. You can use any of the 9 types of oil for Menachas. It's just preferable to bring the best that you can. Okay. So the Gemara says, when you said in the Mishnah shoving, you said, for example, that the second grade from the first olives or the first grade from the second olives are equal. And the same thing we said as far as the third from the first, the second from the second, and the first from the third. What do you mean, shoving? Didn't you say that only the first one is kosher for the menorah, and the other ones are, and only the other ones are kosher for the menorahs? So then they're not equal, because the first, fourth, and seventh, the first one in each row, you can use for the menorah, and the other ones you can't. My shoven, shoven the menachas. The Rav Yitzchok says that's what the Mishnah means. It means they're equal as far as menachas. When it comes to bringing a korban mincha, then you can use equally well the second oil from the first group of olives, or the first oil from the second group of olives, and either way, it's the same quality. When it comes to the menorah, it's true you can only use the first one from the first, second, or third groups, because they would have to be kosas lamar. So that's what it means. In other words, so it is true. You're supposed to bring the best that you have. But when it comes to the mincha, either one of those is acceptable. But if you have, for example, Rashi Ksaviyad explained. Let's say, for example, you have a choice of bringing the third oil from the first group, or the first oil from the second group, then the second, or the first oil from the second group would be better. Either for the other oil is from the first group of olives, but nevertheless it's the third, and it's considered lower down than the first oil from the second group. But that's what it means. In other words, when we talk about within each group, shoven, that they're equal, it means as far as menachas. But it's true, as far as the menorah, you have other rules. That Amnon goes at length at the end of Hilchos Yisurim Mizbeach and explains, in other words, that a person might think he has to bring a korban. Okay, you know, I'll get away with it. I'll bring the minimum possible. If any, then he'd be acting like Kayan, who brought like the minimum degree of what he could from his produce, like the least good stuff, and consider that acceptable. When we see Hashem didn't accept his korban, so the same way that Amnon says, a person has to bend and subjugate his Yetzer Hara and bring the and then be generous and bring the best that he could for Hashem. Fine. Now, the Mishnah had said, "Ach kol menachas hoy bedin." It would have been a kavachomer to say that all menachas should require shemen zayisach as well. But no, therefore the pasuk says kosas lamar. So let's talk about that. Turn it on. When the pasuk says zoch, when the pasuk says pure olive oil, ein zoch elam noki. The word zoch means it has to be clean. Means it has to be clean of dregs. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, oh, here's another point though, the pasuk also says kosis, the pasuk also says pounded, ein kosis ela kosush, and the word kosis means specifically that it was pounded in a mortar. So now, in other words, when we said on Amud Aleph, that the Chachamim consider it acceptable to grind up the olives and then extract the oil from them, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, not grind them up, but only press, but only pound them or press them in a mortar. Well, this is where they're getting their different opinions from. Is because since the pasuk says kosis, then Rabbi Huda is saying that means that it has to be specifically made that way. Although the Son Tojim explains that Rabbi Huda and the Chacham are not really arguing; he's explaining. So now Rabbi Huda continues. Now that we're saying, so what are we saying? That this is Shemen Zayis Roch has to be Lamor, has to be from the menorah. So you would think maybe actually that it means that such oil would actually possible for the menorah. Maybe, in other words, we would say that for the menorah, you'd have to use the first grade of oil from each type of olive. Maybe when it comes to menorahs, after the Torah insists you should not use kosis, but rather use one of the other grades of oil. So how do you know that enough? So Talmud Lama v'Yisorin Solus Volav Hashem and Kosis. So we see when it comes in one place, when it talks about the Mincha, it says that in a couple of places it mentions also that you use Shem and Kosis. So you see that oil, which is Kosis, which is created by that process, is also kosher from the Nachos. It's just the Torah doesn't insist on it, and you could use the other grades as well. In Kain Matamah by Lamar. So what does it mean when it says Shem and Zayis Zoch Lamar? So why dafka for the menorah is it saying that you need kosis? The reason is in order to save the Jewish people money. Menachos are being brought all the time. You have a lot of oil being used for the menachos. So if the Torah insisted all the time that you use kosis for menachos, it would cost a huge amount of money. As opposed to the menorah, as we're going to learn in the next parak, you only need 3.5 lug of oil per day, so therefore it's not so much, and therefore you don't need to save so much money. So the question is, my chisachon, what do you mean, what does this word chisachon mean? It means the Torah is concerned about Jewish money. You learned this earlier in the Masechta as well. So the Torah doesn't want you to be spending extra money where it's unnecessary. Rashi Ksavyan refers to, for example, we find that we find by tsaras on houses, where the Torah tells us make sure to empty out the house of all the furniture and everything before the Kohen comes to declare it tamei, and the Mishnah ends up explaining the Goyim. After all, what are we concerned about that might conceivably become tamei irrevocably is klei cheres, is udenware kelim. Because you can't tovel them in a mikvah. Because after all, if it was food, you could always eat it when you're tomei. If it was metal kalim or wooden kalim or whatever, you could always tovel them. So we see that the Torah is careful about Jewish money, even when it's small things like that, or even cheap, or even weird kalim. So in the same way, the Torah wants to save Jewish money, whenever possible, and so therefore, by the same token, then the Torah doesn't want to insist that for menachos, where you have a huge amount of oil used every day, that you should have to use the best quality oil. We talked about before something from the Noda Yehuda about this, where he has there's a tshuva from a Talmud of his, which asks him, sometimes we say, Atara Chosam Monon for Israel, sometimes we say, on the contrary, Ein Anius Mok Mashiros, that we don't act in a cheap way in the Bais HaMikdash, and the Noda Yehuda goes into some detail explaining why sometimes we do one and sometimes the other. But in other words, the point is, it's not that Shemen Zayisach Kosis is possible for Menachos, it is kosher, but the Torah doesn't insist on it. You want to use it for Menachos, Gizun Tehei, but better you should save the money and use that kind of oil only for the Menorah. Talking about this matter of the oil for the menorah and the lighting of the menorah in general, the pasuk says Tzavas Bnei Yisrael, the Yichvoy Lecha Shemen Zayisach, Hashem tells Eish command Bnei Yisrael, they should bring to you pure olive oil. So why a lecha? Why do they have to say in the pasuk Elecha? Marshall explains the question is basically because when the pasuk says V'yikhu Elecha means that it has to come from the tzibur. But then fine, V'yikhu alone would be enough. V'yikhu they should bring, meaning it has to come from the tzibur. So Amar Shmuel Manachmeni Elecha v'loy li. It means Hashem is telling Moshe they have to bring it to you. It's not really for me. I don't really need the light. I'm Hashem. I'm the source of light. So the purpose of the menorah is to show that the Jewish people are beloved by Hashem, and therefore that Hashem wants our avodah, and Hashem wants to. And as we're going to go on to say, the Ne'ma Rovi would burn all the time, and that showed the Shin arrested among the Jewish people. So the pasuk, the word Elecha, and the pasuk is stressing that Hashem is saying, bring it to you. It's for you. It's for your Jewish people's purpose. And the Gemara brings in a similar vein. Shulchan b'tzofen u'menorah b'darim. In a similar vein, the Shulchan in the Mishkan, in the Bais Mikdash, was located on the north side of the Heichal, u'menorah b'darim, and the menorah was located on the south side. And in between them, you had the Mizbeach Hazal. So this is the same thing. Amar Rav Zrika, Amar Rav Elazar. The reason why it was positioned like that, Hashem says, lo la'achila ani tzorech, lo la'ora ani tzorech. I don't need to eat, and I don't need the light. Because, in other words, otherwise, the menorah ought to be near the table, the same way people usually have. Back then, before they had electric lighting, if you had a lamp, you would put it close to your table so you can see. So, and then here, Hashem is telling you, put them far apart. So that shows, in other words, Hashem is saying that I don't need your food, and I don't need your light. Tosfos brings other explanations that it means that the Shulchan and the menorah are both in the north. Now, if they were meant for Hashem, then they should be closer to the west. They should be closer to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Tosfos says, not really, because actually we're going to learn in a later perek of Amasechta that they were in fact closer to the west side of the Heichal. We're going to talk about that the Heichal was 40 amas in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, the Kodesh was 20 amas long, and the Heichal was 40 amas long, and the Shulchan and the Menorah were in fact placed relatively close to the were in fact placed in the inner half of the Mishkan. So no, it's primarily we're saying because they're far apart, they're on the east. They're on the north and south sides, respectively, far apart from one another. And then Ben Yehoyada gives another point on it. He says that, you know, another point is a person is going to be sitting by a table, then he'll be sitting on the right, and then he'll have the lamp to his left. So now, if Hashem meant that he needs to eat and he needs the light, then it would have been the other way around. The table would be on the right, meaning on the right side, meaning on the south, and the menorah would be on the left, which is the north side. So Hashem puts it the other way around to show that he doesn't need that. In a similar vein, we find when Shlomo built the Beis Hamikdash, the pasuk says, "Vayas laboyes chalonish shkufim atumim," that Shlomo made for the house, for the heichal, windows shkufim atumim. Now, what is shkufim means that you could see through. Atumim means closed up. So in the Poshut says, in the Poshut sense, the Mephoshim explained that it can mean that there were glazed windows. In other words, they're see-through, but they have see-through glass in them, but the Gemara is taking it in a different sense. Tana, we learn in Hebrew, it says, shkufin mibifnim, ma'atumim mibachutz. It means that they were you could see through them from the inside, but they were closed up from the outside. In other words, the point would be the shkufim, the mashkufim, the lintels of the windows would be there are different gersoys over here. Actually, Rashi Ksav Yad has the gersa the other way around. Shkufim mibachutz, meaning that they're wide on the outside, v'atumim mibufnim, and they're narrower, atumim closed up, they're narrower on the inside. Rashi points out that usually you have when you make a window, you usually make it wider on the inside, because you want to have the light spread out as much as possible inside the building. Here it was the other way around. The windows were narrow on the inside and wide on the outside. The gears that we have in front of us, shkufim mibufnim, v'atumim b'chutz, would amount to the same thing. It would mean by taking the word shkufim to mean regular, Rashi says, mashkufim, the lintels of the windows were narrower on the inside, and then the wide part was facing towards the outside. Again, to show loyla ora mitzvah, Hashem is saying, I don't need the light. In a regular building, you build the windows narrower on the outside and wider on the inside, so the light will spread out. Examples of it, by the way, nowadays, if you ever go to West Point in upstate New York, you'll find the walls over there are very thick and the windows are tacka-made like that. But here in the Beis Hamikdash, it was the other way around. They were narrower on the inside and wider on the outside so that the light of the Beis Hamikdash should spread to the whole world and showing that Hashem doesn't need the light. In a similar vein, that Eva talks about in the Rambam's diagram of the menorah, he has the cup-shaped decorations that we learned about earlier in the Masechta were pointing downward. That Eva explains the same symbolism to show that the menorah is shedding its light on the rest of the world. Another pasuk in this connection, talking about this point that Hashem doesn't need the light. The pasuk says, where is the menorah? Michutz the parochas ha'edos, outside of the parochas, that's in front of the aron, ba'oyom moed, in the oyom moed. So the parochas ha'edos, the word edos is actually referring to the menorah. Edus, in the simple sense, edos means the aron with the lochus in it. But now the Gemara is taking the word edos to refer to the menorah. It's an edus for everyone who comes to the world, anybody in particular for the Beis Hamikdash, Shas Shechina Shor Bei Yisrael, but the Shechina rests among the Jewish people, as the Gemara is going to explain in a minute. You're going to say, wait a minute, maybe it means that Hashem needs light. No. You see that, on the contrary, the whole 40 years of the Jewish people were going in the desert. On the contrary, they went with Hashem's light. So in other words, Hashem was the one providing light. So not that we have to provide light for Hashem. So rather, the purpose of the menorah is, on the contrary, to show how beloved and dear the Jewish people are to Hashem, that the Shechina rests among the Jewish people, as the Gemara is going to go on to say. Twice this brings up a different Gersa from a different Gemara in Shabbos, which also brings this up, and Tosfos explains that it's actually referring to Aaron. Does Aaron need light in the menorah? We see that during the 40 years, they went with the light of Amud HaEsh, and in fact, Tosfos brings from Bereisa de Melach HaMishkan that the light from the Amud HaEsh was like an x-ray. You could see the insides of things with it. So therefore, Aaron doesn't need the light of the menorah. So rather, the purpose of the menorah is that as to show how beloved the Jewish people are to Hashem. My Edrusa, what is the Edrusa of the menorah? Omar Rava, Zem Ner Ma'arovi. This refers to Ner Ma'arovi of the menorah. Now, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, there are two different opinions how the menorah was placed, whether it was placed from east to west or from north to south. If we say it was placed from north to south, then the Ner Ma'arovi would be the middle lamp of it. All of them then are equally distant from east and west, so then the Ner Ma'arovi would be tilted a little bit towards the west, would be the middle one, all the other ones would be tilted a little bit towards the middle one. The middle one, in turn, would be tilted, the cup of it was tilted a little bit towards the west, and that was called the Ner Ma'arovi. According to the opinions that the menorah was placed from east to west, so then the Ner Ma'arovi, and there's different opinions within that as well, whether the Ner Ma'arovi would be the second one from the eastern end, and it's called Ma'arovi because the first one that can be called west, because it's the first one that's to the west of something else, or would it mean the actual westmost one? So you have the different opinions. Anyway, Shinoistin Bashemin Kineged Chavriseha, they would put exactly as much oil in it as all the other lamps, or Omimena Hoyamadlik, and yet the Kohen would light all the other ones from it. He would light it first, the Vahoy Messiah, and he would finish Tovas HaNeiros in the morning with it. Namely, in other words, it would be burning all night. All the other ones would have gone out. This one would remain burning. So now, only after he finished the Hatovas HaNeiros, only then would he prepare the Ner Ma'arovi and relight it. So Rashi Ksavyad explains, in other words, that he would do the Hatova of it last. Every morning he would find it still burning. The other ones, meanwhile, had gone out. Sometimes it would burn all day, and he'd actually light all the other ones from it, and sometimes it would go out. Tosfos points out that the Gemara elsewhere tells us that, for example, in the times of Shimon HaTzadik and other tzaddikim, then it would constantly burn. So we're saying that when it was constantly burning, then it was a special sign that the Shekhinah rests among the Jewish people. And then if it did go out, then he'd have to add more oil so that it'll burn all day. But this was a nes that happened with that Ner Ma'arovi, showing that the Shekhinah rests among the Jewish people. So that was the purpose of the menorah, is to show that not because Hashem needs light, or as Tosfos says, not because Aaron needs light.